With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. It's Fish, Cake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome. And joining us right now, he just hopped off the radio. He's on NBC Sports Radio, and you can watch him on the NBC Sports Network. It's our pal Mike Florio, the editor of ProFootballTalk.com. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I'm into hour four now. How many hours do you guys do a day?
We do four.
Four, my friend.
Let me tell you, it's like the Richter scale, right? Every extra hour is like 10 times harder.
Yeah.
Well, especially, so. I mean, you're doing it by yourself, though, right?
Well, yeah, when we're on TV for the 2 hours from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern,
yeah.
Chris Sims is on there with me, which is nice. It gives me a little break from time to time. But when it's just radio, and during the Olympics, it's just radio. And on Friday of last week, we actually did 6 hours, which was, I mean, the clock started moving backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that before. Remember, we went through, like, third string quarterbacks. We were naming punters.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done that bit.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you're right. It's not easy.
Do you guys Do you bring back topics you've previously talked about? Because you know, the audience always changes.
Rarely. I mean, sometimes that's like the fancy thing a program director will say, usually when you're struggling. But typically, we don't like to recycle things because we get too bored.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And just in the event that there's one person out there who has nothing better to do than listen to the entire show, I want to give them fresh content for the full show.
Yeah, we kind of do that too, although in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of silly because most only sample for 10, 20 minutes at a time, but that's kind of how we do it too. I and it seemed to work for us for 22 years.
Yeah, 22. Yeah. My God, you guys are old.
We are old.
Yes, yes, we are.
You're correct
we are,
on that.
All right, give us the list. So now you can start to tag people. We started to hear these rumblings about the Redskins potentially thinking of tagging Kirk to try to get any compensation they might be able to get, possibly better than, what, a third-round compensatory pick. There's also a sort of a vengeful factor in there that we all can't kind of get away from. What is the plausibility of it at this point, though?
I think that it is a flawed procedure for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's now out in the open that if Washington applies the tag, the first step is a grievance. Because under the labor deal, you can't use the franchise tender unless you have a good faith intention to actually employ the player at that rate for the upcoming season. And the fact that they're trading for Alex Smith means that they wouldn't be keeping both Alex Smith with his renegotiated contract and Kirk Cousins tying up, what, $50 million plus in salary cap space in one position? It's ludicrous to think that. Now, that doesn't stop them from going to the grievance hearing and lying their asses off about what they intend to do, but I think that that is the threshold challenge they would have if they do it. Beyond that, the way it blows up in their face is if Kirk Cousins says, I'll sign the franchise tender and I'll take $34.47 million to be your quarterback for 2018. And then you've got two guys under contract at significant salaries and cap numbers for 2018. And it's hard to trade him once he signs it because anybody who trades him is taking on that contract, $34.47 million for this year, at a minimum 44% increase to tag him again next year. And there's also an argument to be made that you can only ever tag a guy three times for his career. So maybe no one can tag him next year. So I think if they do it and he signs it, they have a huge mess. So the potential of this thing to blow up in their faces, I know they want immediate compensation for Kirk Cousins. They're not going to get it through that route. Their better approach, and I've mentioned this a couple of times on PFT Live, they need to be monitoring all the reports, all the evidence, anything out there that would suggest that people are tampering with Cousins and file tampering charges, because sometimes the victim in the tampering case gets a little extra in the draft.
Mm. That would be great if they did slap the tag on him and he waited and waited and waited and then finally signed it, locking up that money, and then they couldn't trade him.
Right, because they have 60-plus million committed
because no
to two
team,
quarterbacks.
Yeah, because no team was willing to give up the compensation and take on the money. That would be just great. That would be comedy forever.
Well, and the way they could screw him is they could apply the tag, and then if he doesn't sign it and they rescind it later, now they'll have to carry that cap space through the month of March and however long they would carry it. But if they would rescind it later, then it would be harder for him to get the kind of deal that he's maybe thinking he's going to get on March 14. But you know what? When Carolina stripped the tag off of Josh Norman 2 years ago, there was Bruce Allen and company at the front of the line to give Josh Norman market value in late April. So I still think somebody would pay Kirk Cousins a ton of money, even if his entry to the market is delayed.
Mike, you posted on ProFootballTalk.com on February 17th, the headline, "Will Kirk Cousins get a fully guaranteed contract?" It sounds like the Jets are hot and heavy after him. And you know, you pointed out the Jets had fully guaranteed, or other teams had fully guaranteed the first year, two, maybe 3 years of contracts, not the entire thing. What are the chances Kirk could possibly get a fully guaranteed deal?
Here's the problem with a fully guaranteed contract, and this is a rule that was put in place, guys, years ago to protect players against teams that may have money issues. You have to essentially fund the guarantee now. So if you've got 2019, 2020, 2021 money that's guaranteed fully and completely now, that money's got to be set aside, or at least a certain percentage of it has to be set aside, which is stupid because now there aren't solvency issues. All of these teams are making the money. All of these teams are good for it, but it makes teams reluctant to do it. The Jets 3 years ago, when they re-signed Darrelle Revis, they had fully guaranteed money into the third season of the deal. When the Dolphins signed Ndamukong Suh, they fully guaranteed $60 million to cover 3 years at signing. But no one has ever fully guaranteed a 4 to 5 year contract, rookies at the top of the draft get fully guaranteed four-year deals all the time, but I don't know why that's viewed as different. That's just the system for rookies. No veteran player's ever gotten a four-year, five-year fully guaranteed deal. And you look at quarterback contracts, right? How often is it that a veteran quarterback doesn't complete his contract? I mean, they'll either tear it up and renegotiate it and extend it, or he plays out the full deal. A guy rarely loses his fastball at the age of 29. In many respects, he's coming into his prime from a brain standpoint. So what's the downside of fully guaranteeing the deal? He's going to make the money anyway. And from Kirk Cousins' perspective, he has to look at it and say, what's my upside? I'm probably going to make that money anyway.
So one of the positions that the Skins certainly need to address is receiver in free agency. But, I mean, there aren't a lot of big names. There aren't a lot of great names. I'm sure there's some guys that can help them. But when you look at the free agent receivers right now, Mike, you know, who kind of pops? I mean, we've talked about Sammy Watkins, but the Rams may tag him. We've talked about Landry. The Dolphins may tag him. Who do you think will be available that the Skins might be interested in?
Well, you've mentioned Watkins and Landry. You've also got Jordan Matthews, who the Bills most likely won't tag in any way, shape, or form. But the one who intrigues me is Allen Robinson. He's the guy who never got the payday in Jacksonville. He tore an ACL week one of his contract year. He insists he's healthy, and there's been talk about the Jaguars tagging him. And I don't rule out the transition tag for a guy like Allen Robinson, or really a Jarvis Landry, because I don't know what his value is. He led the league with 112 catches, but he had under 1,000 yards. I mean, what kind of a playmaker is he? Is he a glorified running back who's gaining 5 or 6 yards on catching a short pass? Or is he something more than that? And what is he really valued as? And I could see either the Jaguars using the transition tag on Robinson or the Dolphins using the transition tag on Landry. And all that means is you have a right to match with no compensation. But you at least find out what someone else would pay the guy, and then you can say, okay, I'll pay him that too. Thank you for negotiating the contract on our behalf. But those guys, I think, will be available. I can't imagine all three being franchise tagged, Landry, Robinson, and Watkins, but those are the guys who stand out right now.
What kind of deal do you think Drew Brees signs? And we expect it to be with the Saints, obviously.
This one, look, I've been fascinated by this, and I have angered a lot of Saints fans in the past few weeks, but It's been, what, a month now,
right?
Since more than a month since the Saints season ended. We're 3 weeks and a day away from the launch of free agency, and Drew Brees still doesn't have a deal with the Saints. And it shouldn't be that hard to do. And the more time passes, the harder it's going to be. Because once we see what some of these other guys are going to get, Drew Brees' price is going up. If I'm Drew Brees, and here's the thing. Drew Brees says he's staying with the Saints, he's staying with the Saints, he's staying with the Saints. But he is far closer to Peyton Manning than Tom Brady on the scale of what a quarterback wants. Breeze always gets paid. Breeze always pushes the envelope. And now you've got Jimmy Garoppolo making $27.5 million a year with seven career starts, no wins of any real consequence, and he's making that money. What does Drew Brees deserve? And I think if he'd get to the market, somebody'd give him $30 million a year. The question ultimately becomes, how much will the Saints put on the table? And I think he's testing them. He's daring them. He's saying, I'm a Saint for life. I'm not leaving. I'm here. And if they feel empowered to say, oh, okay, well, we'll offer him $18 million, I think he's going to change his plans in the blink of an eye.
Well, if you're a team like the Vikings, why don't you try to swoop in and sign him to like a two-year deal?
That was the point I made immediately after that game between the Vikings and the Saints, because, first of all, we saw the Vikings do it with the same GM 9 years ago when Brett Favre became available, and look how close they got to the Super Bowl. They lost to Drew Brees and the Saints in the NFC Championship game, and the Vikings themselves saw what Drew Brees can still do, down 17-0 against the best defense in the NFL, at least statistically in the regular season. They weren't nearly as good in the postseason, but Brees led that team back. He did everything in his power to win that game. It took a fluke and also a poorly designed defensive formation to allow the Vikings to beat the Saints. But I think you come out of that game, if you're the Vikings and you look at Brees and you say, that was the better quarterback today. And if we're going to pay $24 million to Case Keenum under the franchise tag or pay him an equivalent long-term deal, why not throw the extra $4 or $5 million on the pile and go all in with Drew Brees, try to finish the job that they've been desperate to accomplish for 52 years and try to win a Super Bowl?
If I'm Ziggy Wilf and company, I'm flying on a jet down to New Orleans with $60 million in a duffel bag and I'm putting it on his front doorstep.
So it's not even that at this point. See, there's a way to let guys know. Tampering is rampant. And next week at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, there will be a ton of tampering. But Tom Condon, who represents Drew Brees, whenever door number one slides open with New Orleans' offer, he's already going to know what's behind door number 2, 3, 4, and 5. He'll know what's out there. And that's why the challenge for the Saints is to show up with something at or near the top of the market. Because if the gap is too big, I think you have to worry about Drew Brees saying, sorry, guys, I gave you a chance to do the right thing. You didn't do it. I'm going to go. Imagine this guy's legacy.
Interesting.
He's the king of New Orleans now for what he delivered 9 years ago. You go to another team and you deliver in that city their first ever Super Bowl championship. That's something that Peyton Manning can't say. Tom Brady can't say. Joe Montana can't say. Nobody can say.
And then all of a sudden, maybe Minnesota or New Orleans is all in on Cousins.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too. Keep an eye on teams that we're not thinking about with Cousins. You got the Broncos, the Jets, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Vikings. Those are the ones that get mentioned the most. But what about the Saints are looking at this saying, well, wait a minute. It's going to cost $30 million to keep Drew Brees at 39. Let's go with the guy who's 29 and have another 10 years of a Drew Brees. Or this one fascinates me. I don't think it's going to happen. But as Kirk Cousins continues to become a brighter and shinier object, doesn't some point Jerry Jones stir and say, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins? And I think that there may be somebody who jumps into this thing that we're not thinking of just because as it grows and grows, there's going to be an owner out there that can't help himself.
That's true. There probably will be a couple teams that we're not thinking about. Real quick, what's Le'Veon Bell's situation?
Well, you know, there's an artificial deadline between the Steelers and Bell to do a deal today. Now, Bell mentioned that a few weeks ago, and my reaction was tell the Steelers pound sand or pound salt, whatever the saying is, because I want to know whether or not they're going to tag me if I'm Le'Veon Bell. If you tag me, it's $14.5 million, which is $6.5 million above the running back market. And if you don't tag me, fine. We'll see what the 49ers or someone else will pay to have Le'Veon Bell. So I had heard that they haven't been talking over the past week or so. Now, it doesn't take much for it all to come together. Today's the day that they targeted, but they still have that two-week window before they have to apply the franchise tag, and the ball's in Pittsburgh's court. Do you tag him or do you not tag him? And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I want to wait to see whether I get tagged, and then I'll make my strategy for a long-term contract based upon whether or not they tag me.
And what's that number if you tag him?
14.5 million, a 20% raise. Oh, you guys are familiar with this now because it's been the Kirk Cousins formula.
Right.
But that's the thing. No matter how this plays out with Cousins, he's a trailblazer because he woke everyone up to the value of saying, I'll carry the risk of ineffectiveness and injury, and I'll go year to year. Unless you're going to make it worth my while on a long-term deal, screw you. I'll take 19.95 and then a 20% raise. And now here we are where Washington had to go trade for someone else because there was no way they were going to pay Kirk Cousins. What that formula led to as the next logical step.
Man, our contract is up. I wish we could get a radio franchise tag.
Why can't we get 20%?
That'd be nice. Be top five?
Yeah,
be
amazing.
Like Stern salary?
People complain all the time about the CBA, but there should be no complaint when it comes to how this franchise tag operates. Because, you know, the market at the various positions has not gone up commensurately with the salary cap in recent years. I mean, when you look at the math from 2013, there already should be a guy well north of $30 million a year at quarterback. Mm-hmm. But the tag goes up now based upon salary cap growth. So these tag numbers, I mean, think about it. Running back, $12.1 million was the base amount of the tag last year, and there wasn't a single running back making more than $10 million. But these tags have been great for players, and playing year to year under the tag, thanks to Kirk Cousins, is now a viable option.
You think Dez will be cut?
I think that he wants to stay with the Cowboys enough that he'll take less money and he'll accept the fact that Dak Prescott just doesn't throw him the football. Maybe he'll be the one who tries to put the idea in Jerry Jones' mind about going after Kirk Cousins, because I guarantee you Kirk Cousins would throw Dez Bryant the football.
All day long.
I mean, is this a realistic possibility?
What, with Dez getting cut?
Well, it was just Dallas being in play.
No,
oh,
no.
You mean with Cousins?
I love thinking about it because, look, Jerry Jones falls in love with an idea. You know, Johnny Manziel. He had to have Manziel 4 years ago, and they had to talk him out of it. And if I'm Jerry Jones and I look at Dak Prescott and say, this is a fourth-round guy who was great as a rookie because he had Ezekiel Elliott last year, and we've got Dez Bryant, for whatever reason, he won't throw the ball in those 50-50 opportunities, and maybe Dak Prescott isn't the gunslinger that we need. Maybe it's Kirk Cousins. I just think the more Jerry Jones hears people talking about this land rush for Kirk Cousins, at some point he's going to say, well, maybe I should be getting in on this. Whether he does or not, I think you have to at least run through the permutations and the possibilities. And I just think it's fascinating that out of nowhere could come. And we've seen this before with big-name free agents, where there's a team that nobody is thinking of that ends up being the team that gets him. So who knows? Maybe Jerry Jones gets an idea, and maybe he's not talked out of it this time.
I like the outside-the-box thinking.
And we're also not thinking about players that'll be just salary cap casualties, like bigger names that'll be available, too.
Well, and that'll come. That's coming in the next 3 weeks. And then those guys, you're right, a big-name player gets cut, and that ends up addressing someone else's need, and there's plenty of guys out there who fall into that category. Tavon Austin most likely is going to be available if you're thinking about receivers in Washington, but he's a guy that, for whatever reason, the Rams haven't been able to get the most out of.
All right, Mike, always
Thank
love
you,
having
Mike.
You on. We
appreciate
you doing a fourth
buddy.
Hour of radio.
All right, we'll see you guys.
That's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports Radio, NBC Sports Network. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Jason edits the sports page. He puts it together.
Yep. He crafts it.
I guess he edited out the Daytona 500. And that typically wouldn't be something
that
I focus
on. It was last on my list.
However, we do have some interesting audio.
There was too much going on over the weekend.
We have some interesting audio from Sacktown Mike on Friday. Listen to what Sacktown Mike said.
I mean, I think Brad Kay, he's a Ford driver. Don't sleep on Austin Dillon. He might pull a three-car.
Austin
well,
Dillon.
Of course, my man, Denny. I don't want to bet on Denny because I might jinx him. So.
Right now, Kozlowski is the favorite on my site. Austin Dillon.
He did say Kozlowski was a favorite, but he said don't sleep on Dillon. And then, of course, his guy Denny, who I think was in the lead with a lap to go.
Don't know.
I watched a good portion of it. I probably watched more Daytona 500 than I've watched in the last 20 years. I probably watched at least half, if not three quarters of the race.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I had to leave during the last 10 laps, which is always the best part.
That's all you need to watch.
And Ryan Blaney, can somebody pull up how many laps he led? I mean, he was just pummeling the field, just lap after lap after lap, just leading. And then I see on Twitter that Austin Dillon comes out of nowhere and wins the Daytona 500.
Well, because anytime they have a wreck, right? And under the flag, everybody gets punched back up again.
I don't understand the way
this
sport
works. Were there any crazy
wrecks
in this race?
There were a few pretty big wrecks.
Yeah. Danica was involved in one, right?
Oh, was she?
She was involved.
Is that her last race?
Keselowski got knocked out.
Her last NASCAR race.
Oh, she's doing Indy
500.
She's doing Indy. That's right.
Chase Elliott got knocked out. Jimmy Johnson got knocked out. I mean, there are a lot of big names got knocked out of that race.
It's amazing how many big-time, big-name drivers from like the 90s have their kids racing now.
Right.
Because isn't Chase Elliott Bill Elliott's kid?
Correct.
But Austin...
Aaron Rodgers there?
Aaron Rodgers was there watching Danica Patrick. Yep.
So Sacktown called Austin Dillon.
He did.
What was his second choice? Brad Kay was his first.
Yeah.
I mean, he did say, don't sleep on...
He said he could do it.
It wasn't like it was number one pick.
Yeah, but he was all over
it. Well, I will tell you what I will sleep on.
I wasn't going to pick that guy.
Here's what I will sleep on.
Never heard of him.
The rest of the NASCAR season.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just not tuning in for the race in Atlanta this upcoming weekend.
Most people aren't.
I did see on Twitter, somebody put up, I don't know if it was a side-by-side or they did a Photoshop, that Austin Dillon looks just like Dan Colco.
He does. Really? Okay. I'd have to see the side-by-side.
Yeah, he kind of does. To be honest with you, right? He kind of does.
Kind of does. Yeah, might be his doppelganger.
So you can see the resemblance.
There's a resemblance. No doubt.
He's silly.
Also, over the weekend, a couple of baseball stories to get to. Tim Tebow, I didn't even know if he was coming back to spring training.
Oh, yeah,
but
he
was getting
it.
Hyped up by the GM, Sandy Alderson, was saying he can actually see Tim Tebow ending up in the major leagues. And then I read up a little on Tim Tebow. Apparently, he worked out with Daniel Murphy during the offseason.
Well, I think he did that last year, too.
And he's lost 10 pounds and become
maybe
more flexible.
Maybe 14 pounds. Yeah, and he brought up a good point. Like, going into, was it last year was his first year of professional ball? I can't even remember. But going into it, having not played for 12 years, he didn't know where to start.
Right.
But now that he's got a year under his belt, they know what to work on.
And he said day to day, you know, you don't have time to change things dramatically.
Right, so in the offseason, he actually had a game plan, know what his weaknesses were, what he needed to work on, and he expects to do a little better.
Yeah, but the question is, does he earn the spot, or do the Mets just say, all right, because the Mets can do whatever they want.
Well, I think what it speaks to is the Mets are going to probably be bad, and you could see a September call-up in his future. But what does that really mean? You know, it doesn't mean that much. I appreciate the effort. The guy's willing to go out there and embarrass himself on a national stage. He's got millions of people that are dying to see him fail.
Right.
He's got millions of people behind him, but he's got equally as many people willing to see him fail because they're just awful humans.
I could see him, like you said, being a September call-up.
Yeah, so what they're talking about is
September. What were his overall numbers last year?
Hit like around 230.
Was it 230? So better than
8 home runs, I believe.
It's not bad. I mean, all things considered.
Strikeout totals were pretty high.
Yeah.
His strikeout totals were very high.
He actually, around June or July, had pretty good numbers.
He was hitting over 300 at one point.
And then he went in a pretty horrific slump.
For a guy that hadn't played in 12 years, and he, you know, to do that at a single A, and I guess an A-plus level, is that the worst you've ever seen?
Mm-hmm. Now, moving over to a real baseball player, Bryce Harper gave a statement over the weekend.
He drove in 52
statement.
Runs.
Mm-hmm. He said, just want to let you guys know, the media, I will not be discussing anything relative to 2019 at all. I'm focused on this year. I'm focused on winning and playing hard like every single year. So if you guys have any questions about anything after 2018, you can call Scott Boras and he can answer you guys.
And by
I'm
the
not
way,
going to answer any questions.
He said,
so if you guys do ask anything or talk about anything, then I'll be walking right out the door. Right.
By the way, right. Smart move on his part. Very smart move.
To get out in front of it.
And it'll do him no good. There's no reason to speculate. He's probably going to leave.
But you know someone's going to ask him. It might not be Nats beat guys, but someone.
Maybe some out-of-towner.
Yeah,
but he's not going to answer.
That's true. I want to see if he's actually going to walk out of the press conference.
No. He'll probably just say,
most of that stuff
no
is just right in front of the locker.
This.
Yeah. And I guarantee you the Nats PR people will hit everybody to, hey, Bryce isn't answering any questions about 2019.
Number four.
Which is a smart move.
Hold on. I got to throw my, before you get to Ray Kruth, J.D. Martinez finally signed with the Sox. And we talked about it last week.
$22 million a year?
We talked about it last week, and he had turned down 5 years, $125 million. And I was grilling him saying, he made $6 million last year, $7 million. How do you turn down $25
million? Mm-hmm.
Well, he realized that there were only so many suitors for him, and the Red Sox were one of those teams that were going to pay him that much, and they orchestrated the deal where he's going to get $50 million in the first 2 years.
It's very nice.
All right, just think about it. He was making $6.9 million last year. Now he's going to make $50 million in 2 years.
That man his money.
And it's a huge deal for the Red Sox because they were last in the American League in home runs last year.
But he didn't sign the $125 million deal, right? Wasn't it around 110?
110, but they gave him an out after the second and third year player out, and they also gave him $50 million. They upload or front-loaded it, $50 million in the first 2 years.
So
they got a little creative.
He's really only had two bomb years, though, right?
He hadn't been in the league that long. I mean, he's 30 or 31 years old, but I believe his first year was like maybe 2011.
2011, small stats.
But last year he was.
Last year was awesome. And in 2015, he was great.
When that credit hits your account, can you imagine seeing that on your big oversized computer?
And then if he can stay healthy, which he has a problem doing in that ballpark in Fenway with the talent around him, the protection around him, he should put up monster numbers.
The money in sports is absurd. Now, I watched on NBA TV over the weekend two good specials. Shaq sits down with Kobe. It's players only. So Shaq interviews Kobe, which was better than the second one, which was McHale and Bird. Mm-hmm. But Bird said when he entered the league, he was making $600,000. And he said, still a lot of money today, but it's nothing compared to what guys are making now.
Right.
Bird would be making $40 million.
What's a veteran minimum salary in the NBA now? It's north of a million.
Oh, I would say way north of a
million.
I think
it is, but
I don't know. I don't know that answer.
Two more tidbits. So former Carolina Panthers wide receiver Ray Kruth, who has spent the past 17 years in a North Carolina prison for conspiracy to murder his pregnant girlfriend, opened up for the first time in a handwritten letter to the victim's mother. He wrote a 15-page letter to Sandra Adams, the mother of Shriek Adams, that was sent to a Charlotte TV station. He also spoke at length by phone. He said he's apologizing for the loss of her daughter.
He wants custody of the kid he tried to
kill. Apologizing for the impairment of my son.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
I mean, it's just crazy. It makes me feel old, though, because I remember that story we all do. I'm not going to say like it was yesterday, but it's, you know, we all remember it clearly, and that guy's basically already done his time.
Right.
He's done 17 years.
I remember watching the trial on Court TV.
I think he's out in October of 2018.
I mean, is life flying by? We've actually just written out Ray Kruth.
We lived his sentence.
Murder sentence.
Yes. I mean, what the hell?
Remember, Cakes thought he was innocent.
I backtracked on that after a while. I realized the folly of me thinking that he wasn't involved. Okay?
And so he does want, he says, I should be raising my son. His mother should be raising her son. Miss Adams should not be doing this, and I want that responsibility back. I feel like he might not ever have his mother in his life, but he could still have me. And I can still make a difference. I don't think anyone's responsibility when I'm still here.
I don't know where to go with that.
On the 5 and 10, our good friends from OAR have received a spike in popularity since the Olympics started because of OAR.
Perfect time. The
Russian representatives.
Yeah, the Olympic athletes from Russia.
They just released their new single. They just released a new tour date.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
perfect
the timing couldn't be any better.
So the Olympics are actually hooking them.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Just random timing.
I love the song Shattered. It's one of my faves. Love that tune.
It's a great one.
The boys from Rockville.
It's a great one.
This is their new banger, Just Like Paradise.
This is going to be the summer jam.
Summer jam of jams. I mean, it's so catchy.
God, I just want to write one hit song. I want to be a one hit wonder.
Speaking of jams,
I'm a no hit wonder.
Doggy Jams headliner announced today at 11 a.m.
Very nice. Everybody set your alarms.
Probably not, but I would need to know when it is, first and foremost. I guess I could look that up online.
It's really weird.
Who's he going to have from Jersey Shore join him this year?
He might. You never know.
Paulie D again.
He is quite the marketing genius.
No, actually, last year it wasn't Jersey Shore. It was the Hills. Or...
No, it was...
it was Brody.
Yeah,
Brody Jenner.
Brody Jenner.
No,
he's
definitely
on the Hills or Laguna Beach, one of those shows.
I don't think Brody's coming back. He told me at the poker game. I think I know who it is, but I... I don't want to say.
Yeah, you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I think I know who
it is. Don't spoil announcements.
I'm not going to spoil the announcement.
So you got to follow SupDogs
Correct.
On Twitter for
SupDogs, the SupDogs ECU and SupDogs at SupDogsUNC, I'm assuming?
I think so.
I'm going to guess so.
There you go.
So. All right, got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Remember, every day this week we'll give you a chance to win tickets to go see the Caps play outdoors against the Maple Leafs March 3rd at the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. Failed to mention on Friday after the show, I did the Sports Reporters podcast.
You did, yes.
We kind of joked about it, and I did the show with Mitch Albom, Mike Lupica, and Bob Ryan. And it was a little nerve-wracking because I was in the little production studio.
You were definitely nervous about it.
And I had to prepare a parting shot.
Oh.
And there was a little small talk before, like I jumped on the Comrex at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 5 minutes, Mitch Albom had sent a list of topics at about 9:45. And it was different than what the producer had sent at about 9:15. And so I was trying to bone up a little bit on a couple of the topics. And then he was kind of running through things, and people were checking in at different times. I think Bob Ryan was not on the Comrex. He was on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's in Boston. Mitch
right.
Albom's in Detroit. I believe Lupica was in Canada for whatever reason. He was somewhere in Canada.
All right.
And then, you're trying to figure out when to go in. So then quickly, Mitch Albom goes, introduce himself. It's very nice. Everybody's pleasant. And he goes, all right, when we do the opener, I'll go first. Then we'll go Lupica, we'll go JP, and we'll go Bob. And then he goes, and at the end of the show, we'll just do reverse order. And I didn't really know what that meant. And so when it came to the parting shot at the very end, if you listen to it, it's not a big deal. But Bob Ryan does his parting shot
right.
on.
And then you
the
forgot.
Way, he does his parting shot on Oscar Robertson.
Right.
Like that was no part of the show.
Yeah.
Like part of the show was there were these references. I mean, they're legends, right?
Sure.
But Bob Ryan is
older than us, 71 years old.
Right. So the show itself was fine.
What was his parting shot? What exactly was his parting shot?
I can't remember. It was comparing somebody to Oscar Robertson,
okay,
and it was just a whole Oscar Robertson parting
shot. All right,
so
then you're up next for your parting shot.
I was up next, but I thought that Albom was going to say JP, and he didn't. So there's like a second and a half of dead air.
Ooh. JP.
And then Lupica just jumped in.
JP.
Okay. And then I was like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Botched it.
And I did the parting shot. Overall, it was fine.
So did you go after Lupica?
I went after Lupica before
Mitch. What was your parting shot?
It was about Kobe Altman. I actually just retweeted it at @GlassJoeJP if you just want to check it out.
Did they like it? The other three guys?
I guess. There's no like commentary afterwards because right after I go, then Mitch Albom jumped in and talked about how the Olympics, the hockey team, you don't know any of the players nowadays, but you had all these
JP's
great memories.
JP showed me that one of the texts of the producer. The producer seemed psyched.
Yeah,
so you did well.
They already asked me back. Mitch Albom
like,
asked me back.
I told everyone this last week. You were born a better person than me.
Yeah.
You know, I give credit to your parents. All right. My parents must have been, they must have lacked in that.
Derelict in their duties.
Right, in that category. But you are a better person than me to do that with three complete strangers.
It's definitely a different vibe. Look, we all know there are different things that we do. For example, remotes. None of us are as comfortable doing a remote broadcast as we are doing the show
right.
with the four of
like
us
doing it
right
here.
Even though there are cameras, we're kind of
well,
in
here's
our
the
own
other
world
thing too.
In here.
Yeah.
And then when you do it with three other guys, they're in different cities, you don't know when to chime
You've got no
in.
No chemistry with them.
It's
yeah.
a little weird.
Plus,
and then
they're intimidated by it.
And yeah. by the
guys
way,
you grew up watching.
They're all significantly older. So
right.
their references of like the Big O, there was one reference, like a baseball reference. I just did not follow it. Like they went to like the Dodgers in the 60s.
Right.
I'm sorry, I was born in 1970. You just don't know. And I was kind of the young guy of the group. And I'm not young.
You only know the Dodgers.
But they made it seem like I was the young guy.
Good crowd to hang out with.
Well, let me ask you this.
They know the Dodgers when they were playing in New York.
When they
okay?
were,
not
when,
in L.A.
When you were just talking in the you know the main body of the podcast, not the parting shots, did you know when to chime in on a certain topic? Were you
well, like
talking
they,
over people? Or
no. I just jumped in. Like when they were talking about the Rockets,
right.
I just jumped in. And then occasionally Lupica would jump in. And he would throw in kind of a JP / Junkie. I think he enjoyed the name Sports Junkies. So he would then go, Well, let me ask you something, JP. That's my terrible Mike Lupica.
Right.
And he would ask me, he was like, if you had junkies money, would you bet on the Houston Rockets to beat the Golden State Warriors?
Right.
You should have joked, well, I don't have Lupica and Ryan.
Well, that's
and
how it
that
started.
Sort of money.
That's how it started.
But yes.
When I said that I don't have the money that you guys, I have sold 35 million books. In fact, I'm 35 million books short of what Mitch Album has sold.
He sold 35 million books.
Well, that one
Tuesdays
book.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Tuesdays with Maury.
No, I understand it was wildly popular.
Did it sell
35
like 30 million?
Million copies?
It probably sold 30 of
And he also had a book.
Oh, my God.
He did a follow-up to
it. It was like Five People I Met in Heaven or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I would have done Wednesdays with Maury, Thursdays with Maury, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays with Maury.
I'm 35 million books short of how many books he's
that
sold.
That is unbelievable.
Is there a podcast called Sports Reporters?
The Sports Reporters Podcast.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm glad you did it.
He must love doing that podcast. Because if he sold 35 million books,
what's he doing?
You don't have to do anything.
Right. Yeah.
You can do whatever the F you want.
You would think. Yeah, he did have a follow-up book. He has three or four books, but the two of them, I think Oprah made movies about two of
the
his
five
books.
People you meet in heaven, I think, is the second one.
There you go.
And then he has some others, but those didn't really catch on.
that. Yeah. Well, same thing. Feinstein has a ton
one.
Of books.
By the way, yeah.
This
only is, takes one.
This is does Feinstein have anything as big as A Good Walk Spoiled and
Season on the Brink?
Season on the Brink?
This no, is
the
a
Civil
dumb
War
question.
Book was big for him.
Yeah.
He's got quite a few.
Who's Maury?
He was like his teacher.
A mentor.
Yeah, old dude or.
It's an older mentor.
Okay, I just don't
just
know
a regular guy, but it was a mentor of his.
Okay,
and I think he spent the year with him as he was passing.
Got it. Okay,
you know, every Tuesday, get it
right.
Every Tuesday,
yeah,
visit. Morris.
I guess
life lessons.
I'm one of the few that hasn't read the book.
Yeah, I didn't read that
it's
book.
It's a blind
either.
Spot for you, like Ringo Drill.
Yeah, apparently it is.
We gonna do our top five books.
I don't know if I got it.
A lot of books about terrorism.
Might all be Feinstein books.
Doyle Brunson Super System.
Right. Yeah.
That would make my top
I'm sure
five.
That's a good one.
Come off at the wrong time.
It's Maury, Tuesdays with Maury.
So and funny. Today's Tuesday.
But
perfect.
Anyway, it was an honor to do it. Thank you to Mitch Album, Mike Lupica.
I'm glad
and
you did that.
Bob Ryan for.
I'm glad you're going to continue.
Were there any yucks? Were there any
we're
yucks?
Glad you did that.
Any yuck moments?
I got Mike Lupica to laugh and maybe a couple other guys. I mean, it wouldn't have been very yucky, but when they were talking about gambling and like really like highlighting, if you put the junkies money together, would you bet on the Houston Rockets? I said no, but I wouldn't have bet on the Eagles either. Right. And that actually merited a bunch of laughs. Really? You're right, JP.
I'm glad you did it.
You
have the courage
and
the
you'll
balls
end up you'll
to do
it
that.
Again.
By the way, speaking of junkies money, the ride continues. I took Tulsa over the weekend as a 14.5-point favorite on the money line against
Florida. Were they plus 1,200.
They were minus
12.
How much did you win? So you put the whole nut on it. You put
$311 on it, and I won $25.90.
Silly. You're building the account.
But it
just takes one loss.
I know. So why don't you keep 100 and just go from the 200? So you always have something.
I don't care about that
$100. Now it's just the running bit. It's just
the running bit. How bitter you'd have been if they lost.
Well, he's going to eventually lose it.
Yeah, $1,200.
Do you understand it? The only outcome
I know.
Is felt.
I'm aware. Were they close? Like, what was the final?
No sweat. No sweat whatsoever. They won by like 20.
Tonight, Mercer is minus 800 against Western Carolina. That might be your play. Unless you can get one on the Ohio State Rutgers game, which you probably can't.
So I'm going to bet on Ron.
Ron Mercer.
Yeah. That's my bet tonight.
Yes, Richie.
Perfect. Betting on Ron.
No one else thinks that's
Ron Mercer.
No one else thinks that's funny.
Did he have a terrible tattoo of like a basketball
Nobody else is on my comic level.
Yes, he did. Like somebody did it like on their driveway. Either that
Who
or prison.
I also could have gone Ray.
Jawan had a pretty bad
Juwan
one.
Had
just,
a two.
Just text
like
me
a
what
Dr.
game
J
you do.
One or
yeah.
something.
Whatever game
probably
you do, just text
Ray
me.
Or Ron.
All right, good.
It's probably the move.
So
or
look for it.
I could do whoever's playing the Citadel tonight.
And you're looking for 335 to win about, I don't know, $9.
Yes.
All right, remember our top five movie lists, which we did impromptu on the show today.
Yeah, big fat winner.
Facebook.com/thejunks.
Winner.
We got to get out of here. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. Grant Danny coming up next, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.